Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with today's testimony by Attorney General Sessions before the Senate Intelligence Committee and speak with Lisa Graves, the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy and a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department. She joins us to discuss Sessions' stonewalling as he easily answered softball questions from Republican senators, but dragged out his answers to probing questions from Democrats to run out the clock by either pretending not to understand the questions or answering a question not asked. We will assess how theatrical Sessions' indignation was when confronted with his stonewalling and the Attorney General's assertion that he could not speak about what he discussed with President Trump on the grounds of executive privilege, even though Trump himself has not invoked executive privilege. Then we will speak with Russia expert David Satter, a senior fellow at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies and author of The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship Under Yeltsin and Putin. We will discuss his latest article at the Wall Street Journal, From Russia with Chaos, and analyze the impact of the demonstrations that took place across Russia on Monday's national holiday, in which young Russians, some in high school, were roughed up and arrested by riot police, and assess what this means for Putin's open-ended rule into the future. Then finally, David Michaud joins us in the studio. He is the writer-director of a new film starring Brad Pitt, War Machine. War Machine, now out on Netflix, that is based on the Rolling Stone journalist Michael Hastings' book, The Operators. We'll discuss his satirical dark comedy set around the downfall of the former commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, and on a day when the Defense Secretary General Mattis testified to Congress that, quote, we are not winning in Afghanistan and that a new strategy will emerge in mid-July. We'll examine why, after 16 years, we keep doing the same thing in Afghanistan, yet expect a different outcome. And joining us now is Lisa Graves, who is the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy. She has served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lisa Graves.
Thanks, Ian. I'm happy to be on.
And you watched the testimony by Attorney General Sessions today. I caught a bit of it. I was in and out doing other stuff. But my impression was that it was kind of a waste of time. He just kept denying stuff, and all the important questions that needed to be answered, he wouldn't answer on the basis of protecting the executive privilege of the president. But at the same time, the president himself has not invoked executive privilege. So that was a pretty thin read, but it looks like that was what he got away with.
Well, I do think that Attorney General Sessions obfuscated at that hearing. He was, in my opinion, dissembling. He was evasive, and he made sort of the extraordinary assertion of executive privilege for the president before the president has even asserted it himself in sort of a pre-executive privilege. And also kept trying to dodge by asserting policies that are not in writing at the Justice Department about what he could or could not testify to. I think that his testimony was literally incredible. And by that, I don't mean great. I think it was literally not credible, including the part where he was asked about the fact that even though he signed off on the memo against Mr. Comey, and the president subsequently admitted that that was not the real reason why he fired Mr. Comey, that he fired him to get out from under the Russian investigation into the Russian situation. Attorney General Sessions would not even describe his reaction to that concession by Trump. And so I think overall it was an obstruction of the congressional investigation. I think he was evasive. I think that he demonstrates yet again that he's not fit to be the Attorney General of the United States. If he wants to be Mr. Trump's private lawyer, then he should go do that job instead.
So do you think that he tried in any way or succeeded in any way of because we know what the situation is now. It's a he said, she said. Comey basically saying Trump's a liar, and Trump is saying that Comey's a liar. So did Sessions move the needle on that issue in any way?
I don't think so. But, you know, Sessions tried to claim that he agreed with Mr. Comey that that procedures should be followed that would prevent the president from talking directly with Mr. Comey about the investigation. And yet Mr. Comey testified that Sessions was basically noncommittal, in essence that he basically shrugged when he was asked to help protect him from that sort of interference. And then, of course, ultimately, just weeks later after that conversation in which Comey described the inappropriateness of those sorts of intrusions by Trump, Sessions was happily going along with the Trump administration's, Mr. Trump's desire to get rid of Comey. And so I think that, you know, there will certainly be some in the right-wing media that will say again that Trump was vindicated by the testimony, invent another fiction, as they did after Mr. Comey's testimony, that supposedly Trump was vindicated. The reality is that what Senator Sessions, now Attorney General Sessions, proved was that he is in fact not really up to the task of being the Attorney General of the United States, of being at the top law enforcement officer of our country. He's someone who has shown his loyalty to the president over loyalty to the rule of law. And so on the right wing, I'm sure there'll be praise for his so-called testimony, but I think that most observers looking at that hearing this afternoon found him to be, would find him to be completely unhelpful, evasive, and really a loyal stooge of Trump.
Well, the fact remains he is the Attorney General of the United States, and even though he appears to be completely unqualified, he is doing an awful lot. He's probably making more changes that are long-lasting and more impactful than Trump himself is doing.
Well, I think there's a contest about the damage done, but there's no doubt that Mr. Sessions is in some ways wreaking real havoc on the Justice Department, on its priorities, on sensible practices in terms of how to proceed in a number of areas, including in the Civil Rights Division and more. He has a personal obsession as well with trying to, I guess he wants to personally prosecute the folks in business in California or Colorado in the medical marijuana or marijuana distribution business authorized by the states. Meanwhile, his budget that he, through the president, submitted to the United States Congress slashes funding for intervention on opioid abuse and other programs for local law enforcement assistance grants and more. He's just really demonstrated time and time again that he's willing to go along with whatever Trump wishes. And he obviously is the Attorney General of the United States until he resigns or is removed from office. And he is someone who, you know, in a sort of one of the most shocking moments of the hearing was his, you know, actual lack of curiosity, lack of interest in the fact that the 16 intelligence agencies have come to the conclusion and came to the conclusion last fall that there was an attempt by Russia to interfere in the election, the presidential election. And since that time, there's been just mounting evidence of the level of intervention that was pursued, a topic that Trump is apparently not interested in because of a variety of reasons people can speculate about, and that the Attorney General of the United States has shown little interest in himself, has not sought a briefing on, and meanwhile has aided Trump in getting rid of the man who was leading the investigation of Mr. Trump. And I think that I think that bodes poorly for the rule of law in this country. I think that it's a very dark day for American justice in this country with the statements and omissions by Mr. Sessions.
And again, I'm speaking with Lisa Graves, who's the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy. She served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. Now, in terms of the story that broke yesterday from Christopher Ruddy, the Chief Executive of Newsmax, a friend of Donald Trump's, who floated the idea that Trump might fire the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller. Do you think that rumor was put to rest today?
I'm not sure. You know, in the morning's testimony before the Judiciary Committee, there was a statement by the Deputy Attorney General about standing behind Mueller. I think Mr. Sessions, was equivocating on that point. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that anyone could rely on his assurance no matter what he said. As Senator Jack Reed pointed out last year, Senator Sessions praised Mr. Comey for the very acts he later cited as the fake basis, the pretextual basis for aiding in his termination. And so, you know, I think it remains to be seen. You have a situation in which someone who's part of the right-wing media fake news environment, which is Newsmax, who's a buddy with the president, has tried to plant seeds of mistrust about Mr. Mueller. And you also have Newt Gingrich, who's another confidant of the president, turning course literally within the matter of weeks from his praise for the appointment of Mr. Mueller to suggesting that perhaps he should be removed. And so these are all signs that there is tremendous discomfort at the fact that there's a professional leading the investigation of Trump, of his potential, and I would say, in my view, certainly substantial evidence of his obstruction of justice and efforts to do so, and that there's concern by the right wing that Trump will be determined to have violated the law in numerous instances. And so I'm not sure that anyone's out of the woods in terms of whether Mr. Mueller will stay on in this role in this investigation, whether they'll attempt to remove yet another leader of an investigation into Trump.
So what did you make then of the testy exchanges, Lisa Graves, between the Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden and Sessions? Sessions obviously at times got visibly angry.
Well, I've seen Senator Sessions turn on his anger at will. You know, when I was working on the Senate Judiciary Committee, he's in my view, theatrical by nature. He's someone who uses his sort of southern drawl and his cadence and tone to try to, you know, I think use his anger to manipulate people. That's certainly my personal observation of him. So that didn't surprise me. I thought that Senator Wyden's comments were exactly right. It doesn't smell right. It smells what's going on. It stinks what's going on. And Senator Sessions' responses were, you know, not, I don't think they were forthcoming. And I think that they were in service of the president over the rule of law.
Well, I think the takeaway statement was, I'm not stonewalling. And what was today about if it wasn't about stonewalling?
Right. It was funny. Someone said perhaps the rejoinder might have been, I'm not Stonewall Jackson, the famous general from the Confederacy. This is obviously stonewalling, and in many instances, Senator Sessions tried to filibuster his answers to these members, knowing that they only had one round each of 10 minutes. He sought to draw out his answers to try to, I think, limit the number of questions that he could receive. He was obfuscating. He was stonewalling. And I think the exchange with Senator Harris from California also revealed that he was not interested in providing yes or no answers, clear answers to clear questions, but instead was desiring to slow things down and make it very difficult for these members to get answers to their questions, unless they were Republicans throwing him softballs that he, you know, was eager to try to answer and shape.
So I think that was quite detectable when he was getting all the friendly answers from the good Christian Senator Lankford and Tom Cotton and others, that he didn't play that same game where he kept asking the Democrats who were asking questions, probing questions, could you repeat that? I'm sorry. And then he wouldn't answer it. And then it was pretty clear that he was dragging the clock out.
I think that's right. And also this invention of this sort of, I will provide an appropriate response is a non-response, quite frankly. That's no commitment whatsoever, as one of the other senators nailed down. There's no legal standard for what that means. Mr. Sessions would not really reveal any legal documents that he consulted with in terms of what the legal standards were for his testimony. Before going forward before this committee and asserting this sort of blanket he'll review and provide appropriate answers to anything, I doubt that they'll get much of anything from him, given his effort to to pretend like he's being responsive while actually preserving a basis that he's inventing and asserting to not be responsive by claiming he'll answer with whatever's appropriate, which could be nothing, in response to their questions. So I think that he, you know, he revealed again, yet again, his partisan stripes. And the, many of the senators on that committee, the Republicans on that committee, revealed their desire to protect Trump at virtually any cost, which is quite astonishing given the mission of that committee in Congress, which is to have oversight over the intelligence community of the United States. And that intelligence community has been unequivocal, quite clear about the fact of Russian attempts to intervene in our election. And yet the, many of the Republican members of that committee seem more intent on protecting Trump and more intent in protecting even Sessions from the consequences of aiding Trump in obstructing the investigation, the criminal investigation involving the Trump campaign. And now perhaps given the obstruction of Mr. Trump in that investigation, an actual criminal investigation in Mr. Trump, into Mr. Trump for his behavior in firing Mr. Comey and more.
Well, just in closing, as you probably noticed, Lisa Graves, there was this ridiculous North Korean-type cabinet meeting that took place yesterday where every member of the cabinet praised their great leader, Donald Trump, in disgusting and sycophantic ways. And then, of course, at the end of it, the round of going around the big table, Trump himself then told everybody how great he was to sort of put icing on the cake. The only person who didn't praise him profusely was the Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, who praised the men and women in the armed services out there on the front lines, who Trump doesn't seem to give a damn about. He's only concerned about his own skin. So I thought that he basically ordered Sessions to do that as a part of ordering these guys to praise him. So what's your sense of what went on behind this? Why did he testify and what was the motive? Because it looks as though the whole thing was a waste of time, so I don't know why he did it.
Well, I think part of this is the stage management of this administration. It's basically we're living this sort of real-world experience of having the celebrity apprentice in the White House, and this is part of their effort to try to tell their increasingly smaller number of followers and fans that everything is fine and this is merely persecution. And so part of it is just the stage management that this administration is. I think they're in full throttle damage control to try to deal with the aftermath of Mr. Comey's testimony, very credible testimony last week, and the display that they put on yesterday in the cabinet, which was sort of like a cabinet of clowns for a clown emperor, telling him that he had, even though he had no clothes, that his clothes were resplendent and amazing and glorious. I don't think we've ever seen a display like that from a cabinet, a sitting cabinet in the United States of America. It was echoing of the type of displays that a dictator might seek from his loyal entourage to praise him. Numerous statements that Mr. Trump gave at that press conference that was held as a, you know, as a guise for this, the guise of this cabinet meeting of fawning praise for Mr. Trump. I think that many of his statements were false, demonstrably false, more lies from the president, more lies from Mr. Trump. And, you know, I think that many people had the reaction of watching that it was a surreal farce. To see this make-believe thing, but it's consistent fully with the effort of Mr. Trump and his closest allies to try to present an image of his supposed amazingness and decisiveness. Even his daughter yesterday was on Fox and Friends making similar assertions of the incredible success of his trip, his first foreign trip, and doing so in a way that just disregards the actual reactions of most of the people who observed it, including our allies in Europe, who were appalled by the conduct of Mr. Trump. And so, you know, this administration, its proxies, including Mr. Sessions, including Ivanka Trump, are out there to try to pretend that everything is well. And as someone wrote in the Washington Post, in some ways, this was almost like an enactment of King Lear, where everyone is trying to curry favor with Mr. Trump by praising him falsely, but to try to curry his favor, to try to get in his good graces. And that's because, in part, I'm sure they know that he's a vainglorious man who basically needs and demands their praise and demands their loyalty as a condition of their continued role in government, our government.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Lisa Graves. I won't say I'm blessed by your participation, but I'm thankful. And again, I've been speaking with Lisa Graves, who is the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy. She served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back analyzing the impact of the demonstrations that took place across Russia on Monday's national holiday, in which young Russians, some in high school, were roughed up and arrested by riot police.